Well, good morning. It is good to be here again in the house of the Lord with people that I love. Good to see you. We're having a little bit of adventure here, but we'll get it figured out. My message this morning is just a little bit unusual. I'm not planning to share. We've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm departing from that a little bit today. I had a little bit of a strange experience, I guess. Last Sunday, during church, this title came to me. And it felt very clearly that the Lord was laying this title on my heart, and which made me think that the rest of it would come easily too, but it didn't so much. So I trust that what I share this morning is of the Spirit and can be a blessing to you and to our congregation. The title this morning is Brotherhood, Fellowship, and Me. And the emphasis is on brotherhood, and of course, in our politically correct society, we need to say sisterhood. But brotherhood, fellowship. We use that word fellowship a lot. We're having a fellowship meal today, and usually when we say fellowship, and it's right. But usually when we say fellowship, we're thinking of interaction, you know, we're sharing back and forth, we're talking, we're communicating, and so on. But when you have someone who is a fellow laborer, a fellow whatever, that's somebody who you are in association with. So we're going to look at that a little bit. What does fellowship mean? If I am in fellowship with you, that means we are fellows together. And brothers together, brothers and sisters. So, what does fellowship bring to mind? Or brotherhood? Three words I would like to present to you today are... Oh, did I? I think I did miss that. I missed that slide. Well, I have it later on a slide. We'll go here. I'll come back to these. Three words I would like to present to you today that I would like each of us to strive to be in relation to each other and to life at Calvary Chapel. Present, prepared, and participating. Present, prepared, and participating. We'll go into what we're thinking there, what I'm thinking there when I share that. First, I'd like to read 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And then chapter 5:9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren. That's the same word as the one that is translated brotherhood, your brethren that are in the world. And then also we have the word fellowship, and there's many places where this word is used, but I only have one verse, Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. I've got the Greek words for those of you who like to see that. Adelphates is... brotherhood, that is the feeling of brotherliness, and that's the Christian fraternity. It's used as brethren or brotherhood. Then we have the word fellowship. The word fellowship is koinonia, and that is partnership, which literally translated is participation. It refers to social interaction or pecuniary benefaction. Who knows what that word pecuniary means? I had to look it up. Who knows what that word is? It has to do with money, with assets, with wealth. Some of the literal money or meaning would be cattle. Who owns the cattle on a thousand hill? That's how we describe the wealth of our God. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And then benefaction, we know that would be benefiting someone. Someone who is a benefactor is someone who benefits from me. So it would just mean the sharing of wealth and the working together there. The ways that it's used to communicate, communication, communion, contribution, distribution, or fellowship. So, I would like for us to go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. And first we have a warning. We're going to read this verse. It's about in the middle of the chapter. But Jesus gave the parable of the sower. And then he explained to the disciples why him sharing this parable did not have an effect on the crowd. So I would like to highlight this a little bit. Let's each of us really, really pay attention to this verse. For this people's heart is waxed gross, has become lethargic, fat, encumbered, has plenty. There's a number of ways we could say that. But in other words, their heart is full. They're content. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. So when we think about being prepared, that's the word that we're going to really see here in the parable of the sower. These people were not prepared. The soil of their hearts, and it's something that we see here, is that these people, their ears are dull of hearing and their eyes, they have closed. This was something that was their fault. It wasn't necessarily intentional. We used Uncle Arthur's bedtime, the Bible stories. And the book gives a lot more details than the Bible does. But we're just trying to imagine. Noah's working on this boat for 120 years. And some of that I can understand that the people didn't believe Noah. He said it's going to rain. Well, what is rain? He said that, you know, the water, and I don't know, again, we don't know how much he told them or what the understanding was. But in all of this, no one, literally no one, besides his immediate family, believed him. And we talked about it. At the time that it appears that the ark was open to anyone until God shut the door. And it seems like seeing these animals come two by two from all corners of the earth would have triggered something in somebody's mind. There is something going on here. This is real. God is working. Something is going to happen. Why would all of these animals come? And again, we don't know how that all happened. But the animals came and went into the ark. And that's not something that you could have just herded them all together and made them do. And so we talked about it. How does someone stand here and look at that? And then we talked about it. Well, today we have the scriptures telling us that in the end times there will be wars, rumors of wars, there will be earthquakes and floods, natural disasters. And if you look at the world natural disasters, they have spiked a lot in the last few years. And what do people blame it on? Global warming. We've closed, I trust we haven't. They've closed their eyes. They've closed their ears. The signs are there. We can see it. It's being proven before our eyes. As Jesus said, it is happening. But we explain it away. We come up with something else. That's human tendency. So as we read this, we cannot afford to not hear or to not see. Let's be careful to hear what Jesus has to say to us. So Matthew 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon the stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see. That's something I remember years ago, someone saying, I wish that we had the clarity and the prophets. They heard from God and I wish we had that kind of clarity. And here Jesus says that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So now Jesus is going to explain what happened with the different soils. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. So in his situation, you see a lack of preparation. His heart was not, he had no comprehension, whether that was because his father had not taught him, because he had never had a chance to hear and understand the truth until this moment. You know, when we have VBS, we're going to have a lot of children that the seed hits, and I think this is where it really matters that we be praying. Because some of these, most of these kids have not had the opportunity, the knowledge, the know-how. How do I prepare my heart? How do I open the soil of my heart to receive the seed? So I believe that's where our prayers can make a difference. But many hearts, when the word comes, it's hard and it's closed and it just simply does not penetrate at all. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Verse 20, But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. So this is the person that has a part of him that wants to receive the word. He likes the good things that the word has to offer, but he's not willing to get rid of the other things that are in his life that crowd out the word, the rocks, the soil, the whatever it might be. Verse 22, He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. This appears to be good soil. It's just crowded. The other soil had rocks, and the seed could not penetrate. This one appears to be good soil. The seed starts out well, but it can't go long. The care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word. and he becometh unfruitful. I've said this before, and I'm still believing it. Harold shared this morning, we're a wealthy country, and we are. And that's not our fault, even. We were born here. It's something that we have probably nowhere in the world. Can you make as much money with as little investment or... I think you understand what I'm saying. We have tremendous ability to make money in America. And so we have that, and we can use that well, or the deceitfulness of riches can choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Ask yourself, and I need to ask myself, how much of my time and energy goes into making money, making extra money, and then taking care of what I buy with that money. We use the word investments. And some of that makes sense. But we need to be careful what we're investing for. We need to be really careful. Paul said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, that he may have a lot to pass on to his children. No, he said, rather let him labor that he may have to give to those who are in need. Check our motives. And again, we need to be really careful. And I am not speaking from a point of having arrived, but we need to be really careful, really thinking, what gets my time and my energy? And is there anything that's choking out the word? If there is, what is that? And he becomes unfruitful. Verse 23, but he that receives seed into the good ground, that is soil that's prepared and receives and isn't crowded, and the word can do its thing, is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. We have a number of things coming up in the life of our congregation. Things we'll need to work through together. We have a men's meeting here, a brother's meeting in a week and a half. There are a number of issues listed on that paper that we handed out the first time. I'm sure there's other things that will come up in those discussions, but these are things that I don't have all the answers to. None of us have all the answers to. That's why we need each other. But we do need to come to some conclusions on some of these things. In about this is the middle of June. In about 6 or 7 weeks, we have our annual business meeting where we will be redoing our annual jobs, job responsibilities. We'll be looking for reports from the last year. We have all of these things, just kind of the nuts and bolts that we need to go through every year. We have revival meetings coming up in August for a week. Somewhere down the road, maybe I'll just say this now. An ordination. I think sometime we'll be looking at doing an ordination. We feel that some of these other things that we're talking about in the brothers' meeting and so on, we want to get some clarity on some of those before we go into an ordination. But that's something that we'll be looking at. We have Wednesday evening responsibilities. We're going to be starting jail services. There are opportunities to share a topic on Sunday evening. There are Wednesday evening topics and opportunities. We have Sunday school teachers. I ask that you be present, that you be prepared, and that you be participating. We need all of those things. I was trying to think of an illustration for this. And we all, probably all, many of us for sure, have heard the illustration that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. I don't like that makes sense, but I didn't want that to be the illustration I used because I think it gives the wrong feeling for what I'm trying to do or what I'm wanting to share here. I thought, while I was looking for an illustration, I found this one. It's still not what I wanted. You have a series of gears here where they're all working together to accomplish something. If that one gear blows up, the whole thing's going to quit working. It's still not what I wanted. And then I remembered something, and I don't know where I've seen this, but I saw it a long time ago somewhere. And I think this is the illustration that I want. How many of you have seen this refer in agriculture? That's what I saw, that it's actually, when I Googled it, found it. It actually is, Liebig or something like that. I forget what his name was. And he used this as an illustration to show that when you have your nutrients, you guys that are farmers know that you take soil samples and you read the soil and then you decide it needs more lime or it needs more phosphorus or it needs whatever. And his point with this is that you can have all of these staves on the barrel to the height up here, but then let's say you have this nutrient is down here, this nutrient, and whatever this stave represents, that nutrient is going to limit the yield. It doesn't matter how good all the rest are doing. This one right here is going to limit, in this illustration, how full you can fill the barrel. So, what I would like for us to think about this morning is that if each of us is present, each of us is prepared, and each of us is participating, we can fill the barrel fuller. So, if we are here with our mission emphasis as a congregation, but we're here on our truth, then we're only going to be able to be that effective in missions. We may be bringing people in, we're not sharing the truth up beyond this. We can be up to here with our truth, and we can guard truth with vigor and never get around to sharing with our neighbors or sharing the truth with whoever. And we're going to have a lot of truth, but we'll never get beyond here with our missions. We need teachers, but we can have the best teachers. And if no one is willing to learn beyond this point, we're not going to get beyond that point as a congregation. We can have people who are willing to learn. If no one's willing to teach, we won't get beyond that point. We need teachers and learners. People who are prepared to teach, people who are prepared to hear. We need mercy. Those with mercy. And I guess what I really want us to see, and I'll give you some homework here, read 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about how God has placed the members. He says there's the body in general, but there's the members in particular. So if we use this illustration here this morning, now this barrel here only has about, I didn't count them, maybe 15 or 16 staves. But if here this morning we have Calvary Chapel represented as a barrel, and each one of us is a stave, then the point to which I am maximizing my gift or not is going to limit the water that Calvary Chapel can hold. It doesn't mean this barrel has water. It's 2/3 full. But it's not reaching its maximum potential. So if you're the one that's sitting here with the gift of discernment, but when we are looking at an issue, you're not here, we're going to be limited in our gift of discernment. If you are sitting here with the gift of, some people have a way, you know, this guy is saying this and this guy is saying this, and they just can't come together, and someone else is listening and says, you know, they're both saying the same thing in a different way. And he can just take it and reword it, and they'll both say, yeah, that makes sense. But if that person with that gift is not here, then that's not going to happen. You see what I'm saying? We are the sum of the parts. And if all of the parts aren't here, we're not going to be all we could be. So we need those with mercy, and we need the prophetic voice. We need dreamers and doers. We can be both in a sense. But some of us are good at sitting here and thinking, you know, we could do this, we could do that, and never quite figuring out how to get that on the ground and going. There's others that are good at doing, if someone will just give them an idea, give them some motivation, give them a blueprint to do it. So we need dreamers and doers. I already mentioned leaders and followers. We need both. So I guess I would just really like for us to, I want to present this as an encouragement, as a challenge. I think that word gets used too much. At least I use it too much. But what can we do? Am I being as tall of a barrel stave as I can be? Am I content to just let the water run over at my part of the wall, my part of the barrel? Be present. You can't contribute very well if you're not here. Be prepared. And that's sharing, but that's also being prepared to hear. I'm thinking of the soils. Being prepared to hear and participating. Some people sit there and have the best ideas and never share them. Some people share and didn't have an idea, maybe. I don't know. I'd like to share some verses with you that these aren't in any particular order or any particular, they're just some verses that have to do with brotherhood, I guess, and fellowship. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider one another. So there's the first thing. Let us consider one another. To provoke or to encourage or to motivate unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm gonna poke us a little bit right here. When we had our governor say you can't go to church, there was, and maybe rightly so, but there are some really strong feelings. We cannot let the government tell us we're not going to church. What else do we allow to tell us not to go to church? What are some of the other reasons we don't show up? Just something to think about. 1 John 4, okay, back. He's saying, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves, especially as you see the day approaching. As the end times get closer, it's more and more important. 1 John 4, 12, no man has seen God at any time. What he's saying here, we love God. We say we love God. But no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So let's not kid ourselves in saying, I love God, I just struggle loving people. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort, and that word exhort is entreat or encourage, beseech. It's kind of a, It's translated pray. I pray you. It's kind of a begging. Beg one another daily. Entreat, encourage, beseech. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So when we see someone, in Galatians it says, if a brother is overtaken in the fault, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness. Go to them, beg with them, plead. In Jude, I believe it says, pulling them out of the fire. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have not been called unto liberty. Ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Romans 15:14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish. That word admonish there is a warn, an exhort. The first one, the exhort that was used, was an entreaty. This here is more of a almost a rebuke, for sure a warning. Something that we as brethren are to do. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Going back to the illustration of the gears, when you have good gears, am I the grease in the gears or am I the sand in the gears? I challenge our children with that sometimes. You can be what makes the home enjoyable. You can be what makes it just not quite so enjoyable. It's really up to us sometimes. In honor preferring one another. And then Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. So, again, I have it here at the end. I have a little note. Read 1 Corinthians 12. I just really encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 12 and look at how important it is. You know, and we've probably all heard this before. But you can have a body that is healthy in one area and, you know, the liver is shutting down. That affects the whole body. Somebody drop something on your toe. It affects your whole body. And so when one of us, so when I drop something on my toe, that's an accident. There's a member that needs to be taken care of. So when one of us is hurting, do we take care to protect each other? And then on the other hand, if we have a body part that just simply doesn't function, that can be maybe there's a torn ligament somebody, Adri's having surgery this week. She tore a ligament in her knee and her leg just doesn't work right. And it's affecting her whole body. So, again, I just want to invite you, as we look ahead, it's all about Christ. It's all about relating to Christ. But when we talk about abiding in Christ, and if that means just me and Jesus got our own thing going, and I really don't have time to minister to others, then I think that there's something lacking there. So, just want to encourage us, invite us in the day-to-day activities at church, whether it's the normal services, whether it's meetings, whether it's job responsibilities, whatever it is, can you commit, can I commit to being present, to being prepared? And now for me, that can mean being prepared to share. But I think a bigger part is that each of us come prepared, as in the illustration of the soil, prepared to receive, prepared to give and take and be all that we can be, and then participating. So, Lord bless you. I just want to encourage you. Let's be looking at that. Brotherhood, fellowship, and me. And my responsibility is to be present, be prepared, and participate. Lord bless you. If you stand, we'll pray, and you'll be dismissed. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for each one here. I pray your blessing on each one. I pray for those that aren't here. I pray that you would just help us as a body to work together, to look out for each other, to be invested in each other. I pray, Lord, that you would give us just a renewed interest and vision and desire to bless each other, to bless you, to be involved in your kingdom. I thank you for each one here. I pray your blessing on each one. I thank you for the food that's been prepared. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this meal, bless those that have prepared it. I pray that you would help us today to have true fellowship, to share as brethren, to share as joint heirs with Jesus, as members of a body. And I just pray your blessing on our time together, and that we would honor you. Help each of us to be able to grasp, to understand our place, what we can do, how we can maybe make the stave just a little higher where I'm at. I just pray you give us each wisdom in that. Thank you. Thank you that you enable us, that you empower us. It's all through you. Help us to live in that, to walk in that, and to bless you. We thank you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.